It's Monday, June 27th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. I want to get a great show lined up for you. Yes, I'm glad to be back here in Honolulu. It's a beautiful evening, so I got a lot to talk about tonight. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central portable... Actually, not portable. We're in our regular studio overlooking Honolulu. Everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all our great content. Of course, check out our archive shows available via the website. When you get over there, you'll see a whole bunch of different opportunities for you to catch programming out that we're doing. We've got the, we got the Geek News Central audio and video podcast. Of course, what you are listening or watching to today. We've got our special media events feed, which provides content on special media events. We have the Gadget Professor audio or video feed. So that's produced every Thursday by Don Bain. And we've, of course, got Robot Underpants by Langley, which comes out every Monday. So you'll find all the subscription options there in the second column of the website. All you got to do is subscribe via RSS, iTunes, Zune Marketplace. And that's the best way, really, to get connected with the show and make sure you don't miss a single episode. The second thing you need to do is really get over to the website and sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter really is where I kind of just basically do an email blast immediately following the show, and it contains everything that I'll have in the actual show notes. So don't worry. If you're not signed up for the newsletter, you come over to the website. You'll find all the links to all the content that I've covered today. So something piques your interest that you want to look a little more deeply into, you can do so. Lots going on here. We'll talk about some family stuff here in a few minutes. But if you're watching us on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung IPTV, we want to welcome you to watching the show that way. And of course, if you're watching tonight on Ustream or at live.geeknewscentral.com, we want to thank you for jumping on board. Starting the next show, we're going to be streaming from the official Tech Podcast Network stream. We're going to be starting to run a lot of live content on TPN's stream over there. I'll be contributing content three or four times a week along with other content creators over there. So we're going to have a full lineup of content for you via our official Tech Podcast Network stream. I'm going to be dropping the standard Geek News Central stream that I run here when I'm in the studio. And it will be strictly on the TPN feed. It will be kind of transparent for you because you can come to the same pages to find the information. Plus, we'll have a new landing page for you over Tech Podcast where you can look and watch or listen and watch to all the great content that's going to be on that channel. Now, here's the best thing. We're going to give you a lineup schedule so that you'll know when to tune in for live content. And then we're going to, through the next month or so, we'll work on a process in order to have some replay going on as well from other people's content. So we'll be working on that and getting that squared away. If you have comments on tonight's show, you can always send an email to, well, let me put this up so you guys can actually see it, and call the show hotline at 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365, or you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, I'm always available at Geek News on Twitter. And you can reach me there. Just do an at sign and put Geek News in front of it. Easy peasy. Okay. Before I get into the sponsor message, I do want to give you guys a family update. You guys know that I was in the Washington, D.C. area last week. I actually drove down and saw my sister on Friday in Chesapeake, Virginia. So we didn't have a meetup Friday night. I had a great time with her. It was about 7 o'clock in the evening. before I was getting ready to roll out, and my wife texts me basically a 911 message saying, hey, there's a problem, call me immediately. And I called her back, and apparently her father had went into cardiac arrest. His heart had stopped, and they were able to revive him, although I don't know. The details are a little sketchy on how long the heart had stopped. I don't know if he was being monitored at the time. All I do know is they were able to get his heart beating again. He went into ICU, and the details are even right now, even really 4 days later, pretty sketchy. She was pretty much in a panic, as you can expect. Now, she was originally supposed to leave for Okinawa today. She was supposed to go out today and then be with the family for 3 weeks, and I was going to be here, but it would give me time to get home, get things situated, get the pass down on what she had scheduled for the kids and so forth. But she, I told her, hey, just, you know, whatever you got to do, change your airline tickets or book a new flight. So she was able to get on a new flight Saturday morning. Actually, I was still airborne on the way home, and she was flying out to Okinawa. So I landed in the afternoon and went and picked the kids up at a family friend's house. And she made it in, and she's basically, knowing her, she hasn't left the hospital since, but he is still alive, but the outlook's not good. I think they have him on a life support at this point. Don't have a lot of details. It hasn't been explained to me. I'm going to do a call after the show tonight to see what I can find out. But that's kind of the status on that. We knew this was kind of forthcoming. This is not a surprise. He's had some very serious health issues for the last couple of years. And so it was one of the reasons why she was going home, because we kind of knew time was drawing near. But anyway, she got home, and that was the main thing. And I'm glad she was able to get there before he passed away. So we are just keeping our fingers crossed and saying our prayers, and we'll see where this thing all falls out here over the next week or so. Hey, just want to get back right into the content here. GoDaddy, longtime sponsor here at the show. And of course, I want to make sure that you get a chance to support our sponsor so that we are able to keep the lights on here. And one thing I've got is I got some special deals going on right now through the end of the month. So you only got a few days here left. Our deal number one is gone, but deal number two, where you get a .co domain for $10.99 by using the promo code GeekJune, is on to the end of the month. So you just got just about four more days here. .co domain for $10.99, or you can get a free private domain registration, a $9.99 per year value, when you register or transfer one or more domains and use the promo code GEEKFREE to get that private registration with that domain transfer or purchase. So again, GeekJune and GEEKFREE. Of course, got some other promo codes over here at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And a huge number of codes here for you to use. Geek5, save 15% on any order $20 or more. Todd20, save 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. So, you know, you guys, when you guys do support the show, it does result in real money. And a check arrived today, helps keep the lights on and feed the family and pay the bills. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here, and I want you guys to know I definitely appreciate your continued support as GoDaddy is a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Lots going on, you know, trying to kind of get adjusted here. Kids are taking a little bit advantage of me because mom is, you know, normally a little bit more on top of some things than others. One thing I have had to do is put the hammer down on the Xbox usage already. I was messing around getting ready for the show tonight and trying to figure out what was going on with bandwidth on the connection we use for the feed that goes up to the Flash Media server at Amazon. And I wasn't getting the throughput that I normally would see, and I couldn't figure it out. And I said, I heard my son in our bedroom talking, like, oh, he's Xbox Live gaming. Does anyone know how much the Xbox Live gaming, how much bandwidth you use on that? I have no clue what the level is. It has to be pretty high, I would assume. So any of you that have heard any statistics on that, I'd appreciate it. Drop me a line here at geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, one thing that we're doing, oh boy, did this thing go dead? Let me, I'm going to have to turn the, Yeah, let me show you guys something. We're going to do the first episode of the Chrome Show on this coming Saturday. It's going to follow the Saturday Morning Tech Show. And you can see here, I've got the, if those of you are watching the video, I've got the Chrome OS screen up there. So we've got this fully integrated into the TriCaster. So I'm really be able to switch back and forth between live and the Chrome screen, which is kind of cool. So I'll be able to show you guys that. So that's on top of course, being able to bring in our regular screen picture here. So that, you know, that's a little bit of a different view. So we've got this thing dialed in. I'm pretty stoked about being able to do the first Chrome show and working on the format. It's been a little tougher than I thought because I've always had such a general show, having something so focused. I think we're going to be pretty short, 10, 15 minutes on these Chrome show podcasts. So keep them short and snappy. And that way you can just get a few tidbits every week. And that way I can kind of work into it as well. So it's hard for me to do anything in 15 minutes. So we'll see what happens. Of course, we'll be having a Saturday Morning Tech Show. Of course, don't forget about that. Don't forget to get subscribed to the Gadget Professor and Robot Underpants. I'm going to go ahead and get into the tech content here in a second, but let's take care of just a little bit of business. You know, one thing that I was assured of when I was traveling was that my family was safe and secure when they were at home. Whether it be during the daytime or at night when they were sleeping, I always knew that our security system was keeping a watchful eye on the property and that if anything was to be amiss, that the security system would activate and immediately be monitored by the security service that it's tied to. With that being said, you know, it really does leave you at a higher level of comfort. Now, nothing is completely perfect, but I will say that it makes me feel a lot better by leaving the home and being able to go on travel and have things secure and under the watchful eye of not only the cameras that surround the property, but also the actual security system active in and out that does the protection. And so I want you to have that same level of security as well. You know, help protect your home with a security system monitored by ADT. ADT is the leader in home security. All I want you to do is call Protect Your Home, who is an authorized ADT dealer. You can call them right now and get $850 of equipment for free and your activation for free. So you can call 1-866-778-3127. That's 1-866-778-3127. And for a $99 installation charge, okay, there is going to be a $99 installation charge and a 36 month monitoring contract. Again, you're going to get that $850 worth of equipment and activation for free. Again, ADT is the number one monitoring service in the country. Of course, it comes with those famous ADT signs, ADT security signs. And monitoring charges are really, you know, just about $1 a day. And that's going to be cheaper than anything that you're going to find and giving you great insurance to protect your home. And plus, you'll save 20% on your home insurance policy as well. So definitely check ADT out. You'll find a link at the Geek News Central website. Or again, just give them a call directly at 866-778-3127 now and talk to the representatives there at Protect Your Home, an authorized dealer for ADT. All right, let's go ahead here and get into the content tonight. And went a little bit longer on the last show. And tonight I was definitely trying to keep within my constraints that I had put against myself. But we'll see how we do. I got a couple things here to really hound on. I guess I got a couple things that we'll talk a little bit about some things going on in the space. But over on torrentfreak.com, and actually, this is kind of an interesting article that, and they did a real good job on this, but brings up some good points, is that there was a bill put forth in 1865 that was called the Red Flag Act. And what the Red Flag Act really did was, at the time, there was this new thing called the motor coach. And it was, some of the motor coaches were being driven by steam. And the motor coach, being the automobile, was required to have some additional people operating the equipment. Now, what they did was the famous Locomotive Act of 1865 in the United Kingdom, which was better known as the Red Flag Act. It was a law that limited the speed of the new so-called automobile to 2 miles per hour in urban areas and required them to always have a crew of three, a driver, a stoker. Now, the stoker was the guy that run the steam engine, and a man, or actually fired the steam engine, and a man who would walk before the automobile waving a red flag. Now, what this reason that this was enacted was that the locomotive industry was worried about the automobile in its current form impacting their business. And it kind of sounds kind of familiar with the a lot of things going on in today's space. You find bigger companies who have established business plans trying to put enforcement actions against a variety of different companies in order to protect their business interests, for a better word. And as they promoted this with the Congress and with the legislatures and parliament, their industries were claimed that they were a special interest and that they had a public interest to protect the locomotive industry, per se. So essentially what happened was a stagecoach, which was, of course, a stagecoach driven by horses, and also the locomotive industry, railroad industry, was very much in, trying to protect their status quo. And at the time, the legislative of the parliament in the UK agreed, and they put in laws to protect those businesses. And we see a lot of this going on today, and we see it goes to show you that lessons learned of the past have not been carried forward, and we're bound to make these same mistakes again and again and again. And we see some actions today that we're going to talk about in the show a little later about Hollywood making pressures against one of the largest ISPs in the UK to block some BitTorrent sites. We're going to talk about some other actions that are going on as well, where basically industry is saying, help us, protect us from the big bad internet. So we're going to go into that a little later, but just kind of a prelude to things to come a little bit later here in the show and how we're going to tie it back to this Red Flag Act of 1865. Now, we all know that the mobile networks have been, trying to come up with bragging rights on who's the fastest. Now, on this past trip, when I traveled, I only was able to get a 4G Verizon connection in one location. And that was at the airport right next to Dulles, right next to the main airport. I was able to get a good 4G connection, saw some pretty astounding download speeds. I was pretty surprised by the actual, vivaciousness of the actual connection. The rest of the time I was completely on Sprint 3G, and believe me, I've got a Sprint 3G 4G card, and I got a Verizon 3G 4G card, or LTE, and really that was the only time I was up on 4G. And while I was pretty happy, and having traveled throughout the United States here in a lot in the past weeks, going into Denver, going to LA, going through San Francisco, all these places, I activated the EVDO card or the MiFi to see what kind of connection we'd have. And DC was the only place, like close to Dulles Airport, where I had 4G. So I was in major metropolitan areas, and yet 3G was continuing to be the speed. Now, I've always said that from my experience, the Sprint 3G has always been faster than Verizon 3G. But yet, Verizon is claiming that they're the leader of the pack and dominating mobile networks right now. And I want to say not so fast, Verizon. You need to get your 4G network rolled out into a lot more places before you can do that, because quite honestly, everyone else is kicking your butt when it comes to the 3G speed in the areas where there's no 4G availability. And even when there is 4G availability, when I'm like on a clear connection or I'm on a Verizon, a Sprint 4G, those are pretty impressive speeds as well. So I think overall, Verizon's going to have a lot of competition as time goes on. But speed tests done right now show that they're handling everyone else in areas where they do have LTE rolled out. We talked a little bit several months ago about TSA and the scanning of passengers as you're walking through. And you guys know that I all refuse to be scanned. I now request a pat down. Matter of fact, this time when I requested the pat down at Honolulu International, I was for the first time escorted to a secondary room, a private room. And I think it's because they begin to know me a little bit. And I think they were just basically probably maybe looking to push my button a little bit, but they asked good morning, escorted me into a private room and did a little more thorough inspection. For whatever reason, I don't know, but it involved me removing a portion of my clothing. So I was quite happy to oblige. Believe me, there's nothing exciting to see about me being half naked. But TSA has now fined at Logan International. They believe they have identified a cancer cluster in their ranks. According to documents obtained under the Freedom of Information Act and released by the Electronic Privacy Information Center, apparently TSA agents there requested the dosimeter counter, you know, the dosimeters, and they were refused. And but it appears that a number of TSA, there have basically been some diagnosis of cancer and around some TSA agents at Logan International. So once again, I think what's happening is they were so fast to rush some of these scanners to market, I don't think they have a real good handle on what's going on there. Now, I think for most of us, just walking through these scanners and getting scanned once in a, you know, however often you fly, is probably not an issue, but I'm up to 37 flight segments this year already. I'm already up to about 80,000 frequent flyer miles. I'm already getting extra radiation flying. I'm also going through x-ray machines, you know, 3-4 times a month. I don't want to have that extra, whatever minimal radiation risk they say there is. But standing beside those machines, those TSA folks are obviously here. And very potentially being radiated in a much higher level than what everyone said they have been. Now, what always makes me laugh is one of the first times I asked for the hand pat down was the guy told me there's no radiation hazard here. He says this is just radio frequencies. And it really made me laugh too, because obviously he didn't know radio frequencies is what really makes up radiation, depending on what power and so forth, frequency. But long story short here, there is a possible cancer cluster found among some TSA workers. So pretty scary stuff on that standpoint. Ask for the pat down and other people will follow, that's for sure. TSA also, we've heard about this in the news, decided they wanted to make a 95-year-old woman who was having, is basically wearing an adult diaper of sorts, made her remove that during one of the pat-down inspections. 95-year-old woman, and they made her, this is just how humiliating. This was my grandmother, 95 years old, and they forced me to take her into a private room and remove her undergarment. Unfathomable to me. I just cannot comprehend. The TSA said that they were following guidelines. Amazing. I just don't get it. I really don't. Now, switching subjects here away from the TSA, let's talk a little bit about Righthaven. Righthaven has got a new lawsuit against them. They've been charged with racketeering. And some law firm has filed a 30-page lawsuit against them, charging that the extortion tactics and fraudulent conduct detailed in the complaint constitute a predicate act under RICO. Number one, extortion, because each communication were threats intended to obtain money on property premised upon legal action that was complete sham. And two, fraud, because each mailing, phone call, and email furthered and executed the scheme to defraud Whitehaven's targets. So a 30-page indictment against them, or not indictment, but a lawsuit from a specific individual. We'll see how far this one goes, but it's nice to see the shoe is on the other foot here with them. A little more scary thing on the privacy side, Arizona police and some of those documents that were apparently released by the hacker group, the Arizona police have been told their troopers to search arrestees' iPhones for anti-police apps. Now, I didn't know there was such a thing as anti-police apps, but this is pretty amazing. They were told to search the iPhones for applications such as OpenWatch, which is a simple app for recording people without it displaying on the iPhone. The police were also told to look for speed trap identifying apps and also an app that lets people spoof caller ID numbers. So what they were going to do if they found those apps, I don't know. But we do know that police are authorized underneath some recent rulings to ask for your phone during just a general traffic stop and can review what's on your iPhone. That's been upheld by the Justice Department and some judicial rulings. So don't be surprised if you're in Arizona and you are stopped by the police for them to ask for your phone, and they start looking for these apps. So OpenWatch, the caller ID spoofing app, and also the one that allows you to record people. So anyway, pretty crazy stuff. And of course, you know, I don't condone the information that was released on those correctional facility officers and those police officers. But at the same time, it's pretty eye-opening that through these memos that released, the Arizona officials have told their police officers to do what they're doing. Let's move on here. Let's talk a little bit about the PC and where we're at today. There's an article over on Barron's.com that talks about really where we're at in the PC world. And specifically, there is this indication through declining chip sales and so forth that many of us are not using our PCs as much as we once did. So the question that was being asked by Barron's, has the personal computer business become too toxic to touch? And what they're stating here is companies like Micron Technology, which makes DRAM memory chips that go into PCs, among other things, last Thursday reported disappointing financial results for the third quarter and warned that its view into the PC market is not encouraging. So I think, you know, I kind of understand what they're talking about, where once before, where I completely relied on my laptop or my desktop, you know, I'm finding myself now going to my iPad, I'm going to my iPhone, especially when I'm on travel. How much have you guys been able to cut back on your actual utilization of your main PC, whether it be a Mac or be a Windows machine? How much have you actually been able to cut back because of your tablet and your different types of devices? Do you guys find yourself cutting that usage? I think probably a lot of it, of course, has to do whether or not you've made that move and jumped onto a tablet or have a mobile device as a smartphone. But how many of these you have you guys seen a shift? Have you shifted away? I know that my wife has, and I don't foresee ever having to buy her another laptop. She'll be able to use, you know, one that we'll have here as an, you know, hers one specifically. Whereas my kids, though, on the other hand, I think they're using the PC more than they are other devices. So what do you guys think? Love to hear your feedback. Call the show hotline at 619-342-7365 or email me at geeknews@gmail.com with your comments on whether you think the personal computer business is basically on the decline and whether or not, or what it will take to get you back or vice versa. Do you think you'll never come back? Love to hear your feedback on that as well. Now, kind of feeding into this, there's a good story here on how what's going on with the Wi-Fi utilization. The folks at, let me look here, what was the name of the company? Murakai, M-E-R-K-A-I, has published data based on device usage from its customer networks. And I don't know exactly what Mirakai does, but apparently it provides businesses with Wi-Fi service. And what they found out here is that the average monthly Wi-Fi data consumption for Android, iPhone, and iPod averaged about 40 megs, as compared to the iPad average of about 200 megs per month. Now, if you look at 2010, I'll actually bring this up on the screen so you guys can see this. And this is over at technologizer.com. And the chart here on the right, 2010 versus 2010, shows that the Mac is in 2010 was using 21% of Wi-Fi, 13% in 11. PC was 25 versus 16 in 11. Windows XP 18 versus 7%. You go down and look at the Apple iPod, it's using about 7%, up now to 11%. If you look at the Apple iPhone, 25% last year, 32% this year. Where does the iPad fall in on this? Oh, and now the iPad is finally just basically broaching its 4%, where last year wasn't even on the horizon here. So that's pretty amazing. And when you think about in 2010, at least 64% of Wi-Fi users were using traditional computers, Windows, PC, and Macs. In 2011, that's down 36%. Pretty crazy, where 58% of Wi-Fi users are on mobile devices, iPhone, iPod, touches, iPads, and Android devices. So pretty big shift here, and I think it feeds off this past article talking about Barron's, where general PC usage is way, way down. So again, love to hear your feedback on this and tell me how you guys have changed your computing habits, if you have or have not. Is the word geek becoming too liberally used? You guys know that when the Geek News Central, geeknewscentral.com was launched, you know, geek was still a kind of a unique commodity, and not very many people were super geeky, but I think everyone now thinks they're super geeky. So are fake geeks or wannabe geeks dooming those of us that consider ourselves true geeks? I do consider myself a true geek and, you know, dig into stuff pretty deep. I know, and here's something that's kind of funny, too. I run into content creators who are, quote-unquote, do tech shows, and not necessarily so much on tech podcasts, but other, well, let's see, another sites. And when I talk to them one-on-one about technical issues maybe they're having with an RSS feed or with their website or with a server issue, I kind of get this like deer in the headlights look to kind of glaze over. A lot of people claim to be super technical, but in the, I guess, real world, they're not so technical. And I don't know, you know, maybe some people could say the same thing about me. I guess I consider myself a geek because I've, you know, I've had a huge background in working in electronics and I do a lot of technical stuff. I really consider myself a true geek in all sense of the word. So do you think those that are fake geeks are dooming those of us that consider us to be real geeks? I don't know. And that's an article that Slashdot is asking. They're asking, are fake geeks dooming the real ones? And this what really prompted this was the, I guess, the new Miss America claims she is a geek, per se, which I thought was kind of interesting. And so I don't know. Is she qualify as a real geek? I haven't heard her talk about technical stuff at all. And not to say that I'm a, that I do a complete 100% good job all the time. But we'll see. What do you guys think? Love to hear your feedback. Hey, Firefox, you guys know that Firefox rolled the new Rev, and they're going to be rolling Revs, bang, bang, bang. They're just going to be popping them out real quick. But apparently the enterprise people are really upset. We know that 3 months ago, Mozilla released the long-awaited Firefox 4. And, of course, last week they shipped Firefox 5. And next month they're going to ship, or actually 6 weeks, about 5 weeks from now, they're going to ship Firefox 6. So many IT managers are going insane because going from Firefox 3 to Firefox 4 was quite a length of time, allowed them to do regression testing. But with only 6 weeks or 5 weeks in between release cycles now, many enterprise people are saying, hey, I can't keep up. We can't test. This is costing us a lot of money. We're not able to make sure that one version to the next doesn't work, and our users are demanding that we keep up. And they're not able to. And they told Firefox, you need to change this strategy. Tell Chrome, you guys need to change this strategy. You can't be updating all the time like this. This kills us. And basically, Firefox was pretty straightforward and said, sorry, we're not going to slow down. We want to bring new features to our user base at a quick pace. And if you want to have a browser that, you know, lasts a long time and doesn't get updated very often, maybe you should go over and use Internet Explorer. They didn't tell them directly to do that, but that's basically what they said without saying it. And so some of the corporate users are very unhappy. And they shouldn't have been surprised because Firefox was saying that they were going to do this. But some commentators basically have said that Mozilla is alienating its enterprise customers. Well, maybe it's time for IT departments to establish some new policies and move a little quicker. You know, after all, I'm sure some of you that are working for corporate America are still stuck on Internet Explorer version 6. You know, that's pretty sad. Here's a good one. Here I've got, by the way, don't know if I told you guys on the last show or not, but I upgraded to the iPhone 4. And of course, the day I got it, it was announced that maybe the iPhone 5 was coming. And I will say this about the iPhone 4. When I'm driving, the places that my iPhone 3GS used to drop connection with, this one drops in the same exact spot, so it doesn't have any better ability to change cell towers than any other device I've had. And at the same time, it's dropping in just a few more places. I've got a Mophie case around it, so I'm not touching the side of it anyway or causing the signal to be affected by my hand. But I think it's worse from a connection standpoint. If you're sitting still and you don't have any changes going on with the cell tower, it's fine. But other than that, boy, it's a little bit aggravating. Good old AT&T. But here I've got a data plan with this. I've got a data plan with my iPad. I have a data plan with my MiFi. So, you know, I'm paying multiple times here. So the question is Europe leading the way? Or the thing is, we shouldn't be surprised that Europe is leading the way with a new data plan, whereas France Telecom's Orange has been allowing its iPad owners to share one allotment of data with a phone while the other shared data plans. So in other words, you can use your iPhone and your iPad on the same plan. Basically, what you would do is you just pick your amount of data amount that you want to be able to move, and it's shared between the two devices. Let's see if I can see the price point here, if that will blow up. So here's and I guess this is in, I don't know if this is actually in pounds or if this is in euros. Oh my goodness. It's like a little funny shaped L. I have no idea what that symbol is. But for example, if you want the iPhone 4 and iPad 2 to be on 16 gigs a month of traffic, 99, whatever it is. If you want to go all the way up to 32 gigs for both devices, $299. But the prices intersect. They're the same exact price, and you get it shared between the two devices, which is pretty cool. We've talked about, they've talked about shared data plans here. Well, I guess it's in Austria. I don't know what kind of money they use in Austria. But they've talked about doing that here in the United States. And so I'm just wondering, I can't wait. I hope they do this because I'm not using all my bandwidth on the on the iPad, and I'm definitely not using all the bandwidth on my iPhone. And I could very easily get away with, you know, having one data plan for both. And for those of you that are watching, there is the basically the price breakdown. But cool stuff. And they can even get 600 minutes unlimited text, unlimited BT open zone, Wi-Fi access, and a 2 gig shared data allowance for 65, whatever this currency denomination is. So, but anyway, it breaks out the full pricing there for both devices. But pretty cool stuff. So we'll see if this type of data plan is brought here to the U.S. At some point, they got to, right? Otherwise, they're just completely killing us. Hey, at what point, let me ask this a different way. Could you go 7 days without using a mouse? There's a good article around IT World talking about a gentleman that went 7 days without using a mouse, or at least he tried to go 7 days without using a mouse. It's almost impossible to go mouseless, and largely because many websites are not really set up to allow you to be to use just your keyboard. So anyway, I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. It's a pretty good article. It talks about things that they found out. I got a bunch of articles that not opened up here. I wonder why that happened. Over on extremetech.com, they've got a new look to their website. They must have made a change to their layout. I think we've heard about a lot of the new releases coming to iOS 5, but Beta 2 was released over the weekend, and developers are picking up some insights into what wasn't available on the previous version of the previous beta that is now. And so, of course, some of the stuff has already been announced, but one of the big ones is wireless syncing with iTunes has been enabled and is ready for testing. And Apple's also tweaked the new notification system in the beta release. The new notification screen now has an icon next to the notification text with that corresponds with the app that generated the alert. That's cool. This way you can tell at a glance which notification are SMS messages, calendars, appointments, or third-party apps. And so that the developers are pretty happy with that. Now, one thing that is kind of interesting here, too, is some feel that the over-air syncing and over-air updating is a way for Apple to essentially shut down or get people back on track instead of having them be jailbroke all the time. So my understanding is now you can go into Apple, though, and they will actually jailbreak your phone for you if you ask. I don't know about this. Has anyone done this? I've heard that you can buy an unlock phone now. But the second question is, how many of you have actually got one, and did anyone actually go into Apple and have it done? Because I hear that they will do it at the Genius Bar. So I don't know if they'll do a 3GS, but I'm having a hard time unlocking a 3GS. And I don't know if they'll unlock at the point where you can change out the SIM or not. But this is kind of interesting here. I need to dig into that information a little more. I just don't have enough to give you guys a good answer on this. And any of you that experienced it already, love to hear your input on that. Bloomberg at businessweek.com, an article at part of Bloomberg, talked about human errors fueling hacking. And this is pretty shocking. And this should be basically homework for all of us and make us to think a little bit. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security ran a test this year to see how hard it was for hackers to corrupt workers and gain access to computer systems. Well, it turned out it wasn't very hard. The staff secretly dropped computer disk and USB thumb drives in the parking lots of government buildings and private contractors. Of those who picked them up, 60% of the people plugged the devices into office computers to be curious to see what they contained. If the driver CD case had an official logo, 90% of them that were picked up were installed. That's some crazy stuff. Number one rule, you find media anywhere laying around, you find a USB drive, no matter how sexy that thing looks, don't plug it into your machine. Hundreds of incidents, you know, obviously going unreported when it comes to security breaches on machines, and people are becoming much smaller in organizing attacks. You know, you don't have to be a big company to be hacked. You know, people can send you, you know, I get emails all the time that are to find out who they're from that contain a spreadsheet or a PDF file or a doc. I don't open them. They go immediately into the delete folder just because I don't trust them. If I don't know you, I'm not going to open a document from you. You know, what they found out was that a spreadsheet that contained an embedded Adobe Systems Incorporated flash file that exploited a bug then unknown to Adobe was the way that hackers were able to get in and basically hack the RSA's secure ID system, which is going to cost millions of dollars for banks to basically reissue security ID tokens and so forth. But they've got a whole set of terminology now for different types of attack. Whale phishing, spear phishing, all kinds of different flipping burgers, you know, all kinds of weird, different types of hacking. And then some of the stuff I don't know what type of methods they're using, but most of it's social engineering. So be careful out there, okay? And I'll have this link up in the show notes for you guys to read and share with friends. Apparently, the 50 and over cloud is flocking to social networks. Facebook use among the over 50 user crowd has risen faster than any other group, according to Nielsen. Overall membership in the social network grew 41% between 2009 and 2011. Among older users, the figure was 84%. So for those of you that are over 50, you're rushing to social networks like Facebook at a faster pace, even to Twitter, than what younger people are, which is pretty amazing as well. You guys know that they did some white space testing here in the United States last year. Microsoft is now going into the UK doing some TV spectrum white space testing in the United Kingdom. So what Microsoft's doing is they're working with a large group of companies in the UK and launching a new trial of wireless internet transmission. And basically what they've done here is on the digital space, there's a little bit of an area in between frequency bands. And basically Microsoft is coming in and they're doing testing in between those bands to see if they can get effective use of those for what they're kind of terming super Wi-Fi. And it's pretty exciting. I hope that this advances, because it's basically some of those frequencies are really prime real estate and have good penetration and good range. So I'm hoping at some point that mobile companies and so forth will be able to use some of that white space to their advantage. One thing that happened to me tonight when I was getting ready for the show is that Chrome, every once in a while I see, you know, Chrome, you know, I think on their fast release schedule has had some issues, because every once in a while Chrome flash dies, and when flash dies, I got to bring the whole system down. I got to bring Chrome all the way down and then restart it. And of course, all my tabs have to recover. But tonight I'm seeing a bunch of pages that didn't reload through the recover, so I'm having to keep clicking on those as I'm moving through the tabs. But it's one of those things that Chrome has got some issues right now when it comes to flash. But moving on here, Answer.com has essentially been gutted. They've laid off about 65 of their 90 employees in Israel. They cleared out another 25 or so, I believe, in the United States. They relieved the CEO and CTO. So apparently there's a lot of action going on with Answers.com. The new owners have essentially cleaned house. Who they're going to bring on to run it, I don't know. But they're saying that they're still focused on their users. And but they're not going into too many details of what's going on here. But obviously they got rid of a whole bunch of people. The FCC came out with a report today that it's this great report with lots of data talking about the different mobile carriers, talking about AT&T, talking about Verizon, Sprint, Clearwire, Metro PCS, US Cellular, a whole bunch of different, four or five other different companies. And it talked about the state of the networks, who's transmitting on which frequencies, how much each company owns of each spectrum, and so forth. Talks about the number of POPs and different cell towers that are available. And they didn't, basically, they put the information together, but they didn't come to any conclusions. So the competition report says nothing, but provides a lot of data. So here's the question is did the FCC kind of quietly say, you know, why didn't they say something? Especially with the T-Mobile and AT&T deal going forward, was the FCC scared to make a commentary that would probably affect the $39 billion merger deal? Some see this report as a victory for those that are fighting the merger. But some others are saying the report says, hey, doesn't say anything that there's not competition. So no one really knows how to read the conclusions that the FCC came to. Now, they did provide a lot of data. They talked about spectrum holdings, like I said. They talked about, who owns what and where. And but again, they didn't really say that if there was a competition issue or not. Makes you wonder. So I have the link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Good analysis by the folks over at GigaOhm.com. And I have the link, of course, up to this in the show notes. How many of you have been to, and I haven't been to the Getty Museum, from everything I've read, it's a great art museum to go to. But apparently Google has used goggles, the Goggle app, to bring the Getty Museum to life. So Google Goggles is getting all museums, basically gives all of us access to these museums, and you can get a virtual guided tour through this on your app. So pretty cool stuff, not scuff, that Google has done with Googles, or Goggles, or however you pronounce G-O-G-G-L-E-S, the Goggles app. How many of you are using the Goggles app? How many of you played around with it? I have a little bit. It's a pretty cool app. It really, really is. All right, this next article is over on technologyreview.com. And this is a little bit of an odd one. They report that the human genome has been contaminated with mycoplasma DNA. Okay, so I just destroyed that. Discovery of alien DNA in the published human genome raises important questions about preventing virtual infections. Now, they didn't make this real clear, but apparently earlier this year, molecular biologists announced that 20% of non-human genome databases are contaminated with human DNA. In other words, if you've got an animal, they're finding contamination within the actual samples that contain bacteria or hair, you know, different types of things, not necessarily hair, I shouldn't say that, but, you know, little things have made it into the samples that have caused it to be contaminated. But they're saying now the human genome itself has become contaminated. And they said they found sequences from mycoplasma in the human genome database. So if it's just the database that is affected, then was that a software virus that put that in there, or was that an actual microbiology type of virus that made it into? I don't fully understand this. Someone that is a science major that works in this field, please read this and come back to us and give us some details here, because apparently they use some sort of chips that have, I guess if they have information on these chips, DNA data on them. And they don't explain exactly if these are like memory sticks or whatever, but they're shared between different biology labs. And they're not real clear. They don't make this an easy read for the layperson, but this is an article published by MIT. So what would you expect? These guys get in deep. They're saying what to do. The level of contamination and the way in which it is spreading suggests that researchers are losing the battle to eliminate it. We fear current tools will be inadequate to catch genes which have jumped the silicon barrier, they say. What the heck does that mean? catch genes that have jumped the silicon barrier? I don't get it. I really don't. It intrigued me because it sounded like their master samples were contaminated, but the more I read into the article, it sounded like it wasn't the actual physical samples. It was actually the database data that had been contaminated. I don't know how the heck that can be possible, but this is what they're saying. I have a link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out yourself. If you're as confused as I am, don't be surprised. Oh, what's this? Oh, that's nice. They started an ad for me. If those of you on the East Coast, be aware that there's going to be a satellite launch out of the Virginia spaceport late Tuesday night. I guess they're going to launch a U.S. Air Force Minotaur 1 rocket, putting up a military satellite of some sort. So if you're on the East Coast, be aware of that. We had a pretty close flyby today of an asteroid 7,500 miles from the becoming a potential impact asteroid, but it skimmed across space. It got a pretty good view of it through a variety of different observatories. So, and they said, "Hey, we got some pictures of this thing," and I went, "Oh, that'll be cool." And it's really not much of a picture at all. But link will be up in the show notes if you're interested. Hey, Yahoo Connected TV is not dead yet. Apparently, Yahoo is looking to take Yahoo TV into more devices. This is kind of surprising. We hadn't seen too much movement on the Yahoo TV front, but apparently Yahoo is going to be launching in some hardware from Samsung, LG, and Sony this year. So we'll have keep you advised of that. Pretty cool stuff. A Slingbox client is headed to Boxy, and that excites me. So if you got a Slingbox and you're going to be able to load Boxy on your actual computer and be able to use the client from there. So that's pretty exciting stuff. Be able to watch your Slingbox from home. A lot of stuff going on in the on the law front. We talked a little bit earlier at the beginning of the show where we essentially talked about that Red Flag Act. But here we've got a case where the MPAA is continuing to go after the folks from Hotfile, hotfile.com. And these guys are putting up an epic battle. But essentially, the MPAA in their court battle against Hotfile has requested everything under the sun, source code. They required every username. They required financial data. They required every version of the code that's ever been run on the site. They've requested information about every file and how it's tied to which user and so forth. So the folks from Hotfile are complying with some of this stuff on this lawsuit. But boy, oh boy. They are digging in pretty deep. So if you've ever put anything on Hotfile that wasn't supposed to be there, the MPAA may be getting their way. Hollywood is forcing an ISP in the UK to use child abuse filter against file sharing site. Of course, last year, Hollywood's Motion Picture Association went to court seeking an injunction against the UK ISP BT, British Telecom, in order to force them to block Newsbin 2, which is a Usenet site. And basically, they were able to take them offline, but this site has been resurrected. And essentially, what's going on now is that what they're doing now is the MPAA is going to BT, and they say, "Okay, you've got this software in place to block child porn sites. We want you now to start blocking your users from being able to access Newsbin. We want you to shut this down," and they're basically strong-arming BT to block this website. Now, this is kind of an interesting development here because BT developed this this application called CleanFeed. Again, it's a content blocking system that's been in operation since 2004. They spent more than £500,000 on the development of the application. And it was specifically built to, again, block child pornography sites. And now they want to, because they have this in place, MPAA is saying, "Hey, you've got the ability, block them," and without a court order or anything. So it is interesting to see here what's going on with this. And it appears the MPAA is prepared to take US ISP BT to court if they don't comply with this request. So they're asking nicely, and then they're saying, if you don't do this, we're going to go ahead and try to get an injunction to make you do it. German researchers have found that just 5 cars in 1,000 communicating with one another is all it takes to reduce congestion. And basically what they're saying is if they had certain cars being able to report back to a central station that was basically monitoring the vehicle traffic and movement, 5 cars in 1,000 would be able to give traffic light operators and municipalities enough information to alleviate traffic congestion by rerouting vehicles, making suggestions on traffic flow and so forth. So if they're able to do that with just 5 vehicles, what imagine if all our vehicles could basically communicating with a central station, and it, you know, how many times you've been sitting in a traffic and for no reason the traffic stopped? You know, wouldn't it be better if your car had the ability to say, okay, you know, everyone else in this line has been told we're going to roll here in 5 seconds, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and everyone start to move. You know, there's got to be a better way, or better yet, the car do it itself. And folks in Germany have found that traffic congestion costs the German economy $425 million a day and lost time and fuel. Boy, I'd love to know how much we're losing here in Hawaii. I know we lose a lot. I sit in traffic a lot. All right, your gadget of the day, and I'm going to be running out of time here soon, over on Ogizmo. It's pretty cool. It's called Scribbly, and you basically can use this on top of your iPad, and it basically allows you to have a whiteboard of sorts for different stuff that's up, and you're able to draw on it, pick colors, make notes. It really doesn't write on your screen, but what it really does is gives you that functionality that all of us have on vat boards, but you got it right there on your iPad. This is so cool. It's £16. This is the best, or $16. It's not available right now, but it's going to be available. And as soon as this becomes available, I can see so many uses for different meetings and so forth to draw on stuff. I can't wait for this to be available. But again, it's going to be called Scribbly, S-C-R-I-B-B-L-Y. And they don't have a website yet for it, I don't think. Yeah, scribbly.co.uk. is where the site's at. All right, moving on here. 10 Gmail gadgets for you to try. I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Those of you that are on Sage TV, you know that Sage TV was charging for updates, but because of the recent purchase, you can now upgrade your older version, version 4, to 5 or 6 for free. You don't have to pay for that upgrade. Those of you that have paid for an upgrade in past, sorry, you're not going to get a refund, but for those of you that need to upgrade, you can. The folks at Yahoo Connected TV, we talked about them expanding into additional devices, but they're also now being able to watch with you, and they're delivering a more personalized experience. One of the examples they give is if you're watching Hawaii 5.0, and it basically gives you the ability to look at different sites or different places that they're filming in Hawaii. It allows you to vote on your characters, and basically has this cool interactive thing. I'm sure we're going to see this come to Google TV as well, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with this as these new features for Yahoo Connected TV rolls out. Article over on Engadget talking about TomTom's iPhone app has been updated. This thing is smoking. It brings HD traffic updates along for the ride. And let me just bring this a picture of this up so you guys can see this. I'm sure what's going on here is that there's a little bit of cross-collaboration going on, and TomTom's pulling from a variety of sources. But it actually shows you where traffic congestion is. And basically, you can choose to route around it if you can. They color code, you know, the delays, the color code, where it's open. So this is pretty cool stuff here. And I don't know how this fully works, but it's a $20 app purchase. And, but again, pretty cool stuff here from the TomTom iPhone app, available now via the App Store. All right. All right. Last couple articles here. Report Apple's building 2 iPhones for September release. There's a lot of people saying, no, this is not happening. Some say it is. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. PayPal's hit 100 million active users, so that's a pretty big number for PayPal. The U.S. Supreme Court today struck down a California law saying video games are protected as free speech. So basically, they can't prevent games from being sold to minors that are rated as being violent. So that's something new. And you, those of you that have been having trouble that are minors trying to trouble getting games in California, this will not be the case for much longer. Fring is a new iPad app that allows you to do a four-way group video chat. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. One thing I've been curious about here recently is the, you know, I follow a lot about what's going on with privacy. And it's interesting to read the erosion of our privacy and what's happening in other countries as well. But there's a good over on Dvorak Uncensored talking about 26 nations who have demanded personal user info from Google. And it breaks down the list of countries that have asked for information. And it doesn't shouldn't surprise you that U.S. is in that list. But the figure shows that Brazil still leads the way in requesting that Google remove content from a service. And South Korea, Germany, Libya, and India are others as well. Private information about Google's users was demanded by governments or police for a total of 14,201 times in 26 developed countries in the last 6 months of the last year, according to figures released for the first time from the internet giant. I have the link up in the show notes for you to check this out. But Google began releasing its half-yearly transparency report in April 2010 as a way to highlight state censorship and just basically give you numbers on how many actions are being taken. So I guess this should not come as a surprise, but it's cool that Google releases this information. All right, iPhone and PS3 hacker GeoHot is now working at Facebook. So he's moved from hacking to getting a job. And so, of course, he's the guy that was responsible for breaking down PlayStation 3 security. But now he's under the same roof that Mark Zuckerberg built. So hacker in the house. Microsoft is reporting a new rootkit infection requires a Windows reinstall. And this is the first time this has ever been basically announced by Microsoft that they would someone actually completely have to reinstall Microsoft to get rid of something. But a new variant of a Trojan Microsoft calls Poppereb. It says, dig so deeply into the system that the only way to eradicate it is return Windows to its out-of-the-box configuration. They do have some updates. If you've done regular updates to your machine, it should be protected from this malware. But this has been going on for a while. And so anyway, if this rootkit gets in, the only way to recover is basically to completely reinstall Windows. And that just sucks. All right, turntable.fm is, you know, got real popular real quick and is becoming a great source for music. But apparently Turntable FM becoming under the heat of the RIAA through its music licensing agencies who they represent and basically told them they had to shut this thing off from non-U.S. users. So this past weekend, Turntable officially blocked all non-U.S. users. And after it basically was informed that its current licensing methodology only covered those of us here in the U.S. So if you're using turntable.fm, they are no longer available for you. And they got to get this licensing stuff figured out. All right, let me go ahead and get right into the email here. Again, if you've got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Got an email here from Jim. He said, hey, Todd, I saw this paid app on makeusub.com the other day and never bought an app and thought this one would be my first. I'm not sure if Geek News is on it or not. It's called Pocket Cast. It's an awesome new podcast app for the Android iPhone. Sadly, I didn't find my show on there and I found no way to get it added. So trying to make that happen, Jim. So thanks for a heads up. If you find it on there, let me know. I've got an email here from Lennox, basically saying, hey, Todd, talking about the TSA agent making elderly women remove their adult diapers. So we covered that during the show. Thanks for that email, Lennox, as well. Got an email here from Brian talking about the set-top boxes and draining power. This has been in the news for a couple of days. I want to thank Brian for that as well. So that's all the links we got in email for the show, and no voicemail comments tonight. So we're going to get you out of here on time. It's great to be back in Honolulu. Still dragging a little bit from jet lag. So hopefully a few days here, I'll get completely back on Honolulu Standard Time. So I want to thank all of you for coming out and hanging out for the show today. Again, the show hotline is 619-342-7365, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can tweet me at Geek News, and we look and bring in the first edition of the Chrome Show to you this coming Saturday. Of course, we want to thank our sponsors, ADT. Make sure you get it. You go over there and check out ADT, and if you're looking for the to get a security system with them, dial 1-866-778-3127. Call them now. Operators standing by. And, of course, the link is up there in the show notes as well where you can request information. They'll be with us here for a couple more weeks as an advertiser, and we hope that you'll give them a try and see what they can offer for you. Of course, GoDaddy as well. Don't forget about our GoDaddy promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We'll have some new deals for you in July. And if I didn't mention it on the last show, I want to say congratulations to my GoDaddy rep. She's about ready to her and her husband are having their first child. And it should go without saying, give a warm congratulations as well to Angelo Mandato, our CIO at Raw Voice, for the birth of his son this morning, Nicholas. Mom and child and father are doing fine. So I found that out this morning. We talked and actually saw the tweet and called Angelo up. So 5:30 in the morning. So they had a long night at the hospital. And another Raw Voice employee, Cameron, was married this weekend. So him and his lovely bride are now on their honeymoon. So congratulations to him. So a lot of additions to the Raw Voice family. So it's been kind of an exciting weekend. We were kind of expecting this. Meanwhile, Mindy, our sales manager, she's down with a softball tournament. So we're kind of short-handed this week at Raw Voice. It's going to be fun manning the phones. But good time of year to be there. Everyone's on summer break. Hey, starting next show, we're going to have a new contest. And I hope that you'll jump in and participate and make sure that you listen to the next show. Again, it's been my pleasure to bring it to you. Todd Cochran here from Geek News Central. We'll see you next time. Take care and aloha.